If you have a spare Google account or two, this one's for you. Today, we're diving headfirst into a ticking time bomb, Google's impending purge of inactive accounts. Starting December 1st, Google is set to delete dormant accounts and everything they hold, including photos, emails, calendar entries, and more. I'll uncover all you need to know about Google's cleanup operation. That and many more follow. You're listening to Geek News Central, episodes 1708, coming to you this Monday, November 28th. I'm your host, the one and only Todd Cochran. A big shout out to our primary sponsor at GoDaddy.com, powering our geekly endeavors. Grab their jaw-jumping deals at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. And hey to all our awesome listeners, you're the real MVPs. Back us up at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider by becoming a GNC insider. We are not alive and lit, but you can still get one of those modern podcast apps at podcastapps.com. Join our value for value movement just by hopping onto a fresh podcast app at podcastapps.com. To all our amazing listeners out there, big virtual hug. Dive into our digital hub, of course, at geeknewscentral.com. Follow or subscribe to the podcast while you're there. Of course, you will want to sign up for our newsletter as well. You can always get into the chat room at geeknews.chat. And of course, if you have feedback, ping me at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or catch me on X at Geek News. Of course, you can find me lounging on Facebook as well. Don't forget to check out our partner shows, all linked at the Geek News Central website. And a massive salute to GoDaddy, the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast where savings begin. Get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy and lock in those savings. I tell you, we've got a lot of great deals. They continue to be available for all of you. And of course, the most important thing is, by far, our hosting deals. Our hosting deals are $1.99 a month for economy hosting for the first year with a free domain, or $2.99 a month for a managed WordPress hosting account for the first year with a free domain, or just a penny for a brand new domain name. Get locked in. This is where savings begin. You also can get a free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans. That's a 1 month free trial. So again, we've got to be able to get a domain for just a penny, or two hosting deals, $1.99 a month economy hosting, or $2.99 a month managed WordPress hosting, again for the first year. And both of those accounts include a free domain name. And your support allows me to continue to do what I do, allows us to keep the lights on, the insurance paid, everything goes along with doing the podcast. We want to thank you very much for your ongoing support. And also helps pay for our writers at geeknewscentral.com, all the great content that's being put on the website. We want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor of the podcast. Hey, hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving, those of you in the United States. I indulged heavily and did not go into a turkey food coma, but almost, per se, and ended up with a little bit of snow in Michigan, and so things are definitely headed towards the winter sphere at this point, but hope everyone's doing well and glad to be back with you on this Monday for this edition of the Geek News Central podcast. So I'm going to continue on basically audio only for the show through probably the first video of the show will be back on probably around December 11th, somewhere right in there. Maybe the show on the 7th will have video, but not 100% sure yet, but we'll see. But got a great lineup of content for you tonight. But I did want to take just a second, talk about the timeline of, you know, we talked about on the last show, because there was no show for Thanksgiving, about this whole situation that was going on with Sam Altman, the now once again CEO at OpenAI. And you know, the timeline was just crazy if you look at this. You know, he was fired on Friday, November 17th. And then, you know, the shockwave just absolutely reverberated throughout the tech world. And all the minutiae that happened that first day, and of course we talked about that on the show just a little bit last Monday. But then, you know, really lots of negotiating was going on and lots of tweets. And then Saturday, they wanted him back, and then they didn't want him back again. And so, you know, the board of directors there was definitely in a bit of chaos. But then Microsoft came in Sunday, and this is where we kind of left everyone, was the Sunday stunner, in which Microsoft says, oh, yeah, we'll take the team. But really, things even doubled heavier Monday when a whole bunch of the employees, 500 of them or so, signed a letter saying, hey, if he's not back, we're leaving unless the board resigns. And it just, you know, more minutia that was going on. But then Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, we now know Sam Altman is indeed, well, he wasn't a Microsoft employee. And he was back at that point as CEO. So late Tuesday, early Wednesday, OpenAI announced on X that Sam was officially back. And they said, we've reached an agreement in principle for Sam Altman to return to OpenAI as CEO with a new initial board of Brett Taylor, Larry Summers, and Adam D'Angelo. We are collaborating to figure out the details. Thank you so much for your patience through this. So they basically kicked the board off. They basically, the whole board of directors resigned. And here's what really ultimately is the situation. You had a board of directors that thought OpenAI was going too fast and wanted to slow things down and did not want to move forward with more AGI development, everything that's going on in the AI space. They still have the same charter that they've had before. Nothing has changed there. But I'm going to be honest with you. Now, Sam Altman has the reins, and he is basically going to be able to go full speed forward with OpenAI, and probably very much to the betterment of both Google and also the situation with Microsoft and the gamemanship they did. But I'm going to tell you, as I said in the last show, Microsoft played, you know, the king of spades or queen of spades, whatever, jack of spades. You know, they definitely, you know, threw the gauntlet down and probably was the one that was most responsible for Sam coming, being back and employees threatening to walk. And but what a absolute insane amount of drama. I'm going to tell you, it's very, very interesting to say the least. So hopefully they get, you know, got through the holiday here and things are going to get back to normal at OpenAI. Time will tell. All right. So as I said in my initial intro parlay, Google's going to delete inactive accounts. And if you're using a Gmail account like me, I have a primary one, geeknews@gmail.com. And then I have some that I pay for that are part of my business. So those accounts are, for me, are all safe. But I have probably four or five other Gmail accounts that I signed up for in the early days of Gmail that I've never really used. And I'm, you know, cyber squatting on some Gmail email addresses. And so those accounts, if they're not touched, are basically going to be deleted. So I've kind of went through my notes to look and see, okay, where what accounts, it's almost like Twitter accounts, you know, that's going to happen next. You know, I had a couple of Gmail accounts that I still want to keep, and the ones I'm paying for, they're not going to delete, of course, but what they're really trying to do is they're trying to clean things up. And unattended accounts often rely on old or reused passwords. They receive few security checks. 10 times more likely not to have two-factor authentication. So again, starting December 1st, they're going to start purging. And if a Google account has not been signed into for at least 2 years, the account and its contents, including content within Google Workspace, Gmail, Docs, Drive, Meet, Calendar, and Google Photo, may be deleted. However, the new policy applies to personal Google accounts, meaning it does not affect school or business managed accounts. In addition, Google will not remove any accounts that you have uploaded YouTube videos or have active subscription to apps or new services in the company's updated account or in their updated account policy. So affected users will have received multiple notifications that their accounts will be terminated, and but you've had to have logged in to have seen that notification. And but just log in. Just log into the account that you may have. And reading an email, using Google Drive, watch a YouTube video, really anything, some activity within the account, and it'll reset your clock on those accounts that you may not have touched in a while, all right? Moving on here, there's a study over at Medium.com talking about over half of users are using OpenAI or generative AI without their employer approval. 64% of workers have passed off generative AI work as their own. Over half the global workers employ generative AI without formal employer approval. 32% anticipate integrating generative AI into their work routines. And top three secure practices, company approved Gen AI, no confidential data and prompts, and no personal identifiable customer data. So it just goes into a whole bunch of stuff that people have done. 71% of the workforce believe generative AI enhances productivity. 70% of global workers lack formal training. That's part of the issue, too, in safe and ethical generative AI use. So just this is a very interesting study that was done. And but again, 50% say that they're using it without telling their boss that they're doing so. I don't recommend that, to be honest with you. I really, really don't. And especially if you're not the subject matter expert on whatever you're producing, make sure that there is a you know, clearance system so that you have your work checked. Because again, we see it in a daily basis at my company where the AI will insert stuff that is absolutely untrue and is not valid, and it gets wordy and it does all kinds of stuff. So you know, use it with caution and make sure you're QAing everything or have someone QA the output. Hackers have hijacked industrial control system at a U.S. water utility. Municipal Water Authority of the Aliquippa, and if I pronounce that wrong for those of you in Pennsylvania, the Aliquippa confirms that hackers took control of a booster station but says no risk to drinking water or the water supply. They said that the compromised system associated with the booster station that monitors and regulates water pressure for Raccoon and Potter townships. And an alarm quickly alerted the utility of the intrusion, and the compromised system was disabled. The water facilities represents that there was no known risk to water supply or drinking water. And here's the crazy part. An Iranian-linked hacktivist group called itself the Cyber AV3 Avengers has taken credit for the attack, and they appear to target an industrial control system made by an Israeli company called Unitronics. So again, utilities and these systems that are, you know, they're IP connected, they're not super secure. These things continue to be gateways for systems to be hacked and taken over. We haven't talked about this topic in a long while, but digital car keys are here. Are we really ready for them? Now, NFC versus ultra wideband, you know, tap to start versus passive signals. You know, we had hand cranks, right? Then real keys, followed by key fobs. And now we have digital keys, which enable you to lock, unlock, and start your car from your phone. Now, digital keys are still rare. Now, I can start my car and unlock my car with an app. So I guess it's, in essence, a digital key, but when I get in the vehicle, I still have to have my key fob in order for the vehicle to actually continue and be able to shift it into gear and so forth. So we are really at a cusp here in where our phones are going to be the gateway to our vehicles at some point. You know, again, many automakers already offer digital keys, but it hasn't always worked flawlessly. Tesla said it was only going to do digital keys for Model 3, but later opted for good old-fashioned key fobs because customer wanted them. And I used one of those digital keys from Tesla, and it really was one of those things that just felt weird. It's better to have something I can click, you know, I think. So, you know, do you have a digital key for your car? Can you drive around without a fob, just having a digital key in your phone? I'd love to hear from you what you think there, because there's technology now. They're trying to decide whether it's going to be NFC, if it's going to be ultra wideband, what is going to be used in order to access our vehicles. And I'm pretty lucky. My car, I just put my hand on the handle, and as long as I got my key fob in my pocket, the car unlocks. So, you know, I like that a lot better than anything. You think the key fob just gives us this assurance, but, you know, key fobs are not without to fail either. They can be hacked just as easily as anything else these days. Interesting, over from the BBC, a cyber attack has left home sales in limbo. A firm called CTS in the UK was hit by a cyber attack, and they can't close on home purchases. Buyers expressed their distress on social media. The regulator said law firms need to work together to avoid disruption, but generally on property completion day, we call it closing day in America, the buyer's solicitor arranges for money to be transferred to the seller's. And of course, a failure to complete is technically a breach of contract. So that's when money changes hands, and it's when you get your keys to your home. And again, 80 law firms have been affected in the UK. And so there's lots of homes that can't be closed on. And it's becoming a big, big issue. So interesting to see that how one little cyber attack, or actually a big one, can affect people in many, many different ways. There's a great article over on CNBC where an ex-NASA astronaut is sharing his three best tips for dealing with failure, including the real golden rule to follow. And these are makes a lot of second, a lot of sense, not a lot of seconds, a lot of sense. Number one, give yourself 30 seconds to feel bad. And if you've had a failure, you know, give yourself 30 seconds to realize, hey, this was a fail. And second, before you act, think about how it can get worse, because it always can. There are a few things you need to react to immediately. When you rush to fix a mistake, you often end up making another one because you're not paying enough attention, because you're trying to cover six, right? So I think this is true. I think this is something where you got to step back and say, okay, what did we do wrong, or what did I do wrong? How can I fix it? You know, is this really going to fix it? And also, remind yourself what you have in common with your teammates. In the office, every conflict is usually a group conflict. And he says that because people tend to work in teams, when emotions are running high, solving an issue might seem impossible if teammates don't see eye to eye. And when he was facing such a conflict, his course of action is to consult with what he calls bank of good thoughts. What I found to be the golden rule for leadership and teamwork is to find a way to care for and admire everyone on my team. He says you may not share the same background, areas of expertise, or outlook, but it's always good to remember that everyone on your team was vetted by the same application process that you went through. And maybe you don't naturally connect with them, but they are there for a reason. Find something you admire about the person or that you share in common by taking the time to get to know them. And I think that's true. And it just makes the team work better and has open communication. So it's a great article on sharing three best tips for dealing with failure, because we all hit those speed bumps from time to time. A hacker has claimed to have hit General Electric and stolen company data. General Electric is, of course, an American multinational conglomeration. The hacker posted a thread on an underground forum selling access to the company's development and software pipelines for $500. After failing to sell the access, the broker decided to offer the data pulled from the endpoints separately. Apparently, GE is investigating to find out what they lost. But anyway, again, these hackers continue to get into systems and steal code and everything else. Not surprising, if based on how EU goes after everyone, EU antitrust regulator says Amazon's iRobot deal may restrict competition. And if you think about this, this $1.4 billion acquisition of iRobot, Amazon has a lot of power when it comes to offering products on the website. And even though there's a lot of competitors to iRobot that have, you know, great products. Matter of fact, when we had our office in Columbus, we had two iRobot competitors that just, they work fine. And but they feel that this this may give Amazon too much power and may force other folks out. So they're not happy with this, and I don't know what's going to happen. But anyway, that acquisition, I guess, still is yet to close. But the EU says this is not good. Well, everyone wants to be a hacker until they get caught. But some people should never even try to be a hacker. But sadly, the tools are getting much easier to use. There's a malicious Telegram bot that could create huge phishing scams. Even low-skilled hackers can become experts in phishing with this new bot that's out there. Cybersecurity researchers for ESET recently discovered a new toolkit that allows even the lowest skilled hacker to pull off elaborate phishing schemes. The toolkit is called Telekope, T-E-L-E-K-O-P-Y-E, and it's implemented as a Telegram bot, which hackers can use to generate fraudulent websites, landing pages, send SMS messages and emails, and create fake screenshots. And their targets are mainly online markets popular in Russia, such as OLX and YULA. However, ESET's researchers say that hackers are also targeting marketplaces native to other countries, such as BlaBlaCar and eBay. In some instances, victims had nothing in common with Russia. So anyway, it's an interesting thing that they're just bots within Telegram itself. Kind of crazy. Gulf Air, the airline out of the Kingdom of Bahrain, is confirmed suffering a data breach, which mostly resulted in hackers stealing sensitive customer information. The company confirmed news that the data breach on November 24th resulted in the compromise of some information from its email and client database. The notification says nothing about the nature of the incident, so it's still not known if this is a ransomware attack or not. So again, just the hacks continue. It's seems like 3-4 a day. A little space news. What's the biggest planet ever found? Well, there's some big ones out there, and you consider Earth. Earth is actually a very small planet, and you know the universe is vast, possibly even infinite. That's the thing I've always questioned: is what is the universe expanding into? Never been able to get an answer on that. But, Earth is dwarfed by gas giants like Jupiter. But there are much, much bigger planets out there. And some of them can be as 40 or 50 times the size of Jupiter. And Jupiter's already massive compared to even Earth. So pretty cool. It's a good article. Goes into brown dwarfs and a whole bunch of other stuff as well. So link will be up in the show notes. Elon Musk said something that, of course, you know, was probably a little bit of an eye-opener. He says he'd like to help rebuild Gaza in a Netanyahu chat. So he said that he'd like to help rebuild Gaza after the war with Hamas in a conversation with the prime minister, part of a day-long series of meetings with local, with political leaders in Israel. And Musk is under fire from a variety of targets, but he was in Israel and went to where the one of the major massacres happened. And interesting, he's there in the middle of a conflict. I just wonder if this was, sometimes I wonder, he's there right now, but why did he go? Was this a part of other business leaders going, or... I don't understand it, to be kind of frank with you. In the middle of a conflict, why is he there? You know, that's a question I would ask. Mosaic has raised $20 million to build payment splitting solution for creators. Creators often work with different collaborators for different projects. and splitting payments with one is a big challenge. So Mosaic, previously Jammer, is trying to solve this problem through its range of solutions, including APIs and Chrome extensions. The company has raised $20 million to figure out how to split payments. Really? They couldn't get the money just for that. So we'll see. We'll see what they come up with. But, you know, splitting payments is easy in podcasting with a value-for-value system. When I do the new media show, Rob and I split 50-50, the number of Satoshi tokens that come into the show. Not surprisingly, Amazon has topped UPS and FedEx to become the biggest U.S. delivery business, and they've grabbed the crown here. The e-commerce giant delivered more packages to U.S. homes in 2022 than UPS after eclipsing FedEx in 2020, and it's on track to widen the gap this year, according to internal Amazon data. The U.S. Postal Service is still the biggest parcel service by volume, handles hundreds of million packages for all three companies. But again, Amazon has its own fleet of delivery stuff, and they have now eclipsed both UPS and FedEx, which is a really remarkable feat, to be honest with you. Now, we've been talking about all these hackers and hacks and infiltrations and, you know, ransomware and everything else that's going on. But analysis, Gartner analysis, have been looking at the after effect of one of these events to companies. And it can be devastating. And they're saying companies should consider post-attack security tools. Well, if you've been attacked, you're going to think about that. But you maybe should put some investment in up front. There's nothing that's perfect. But some say that market procrastinators will basically could be hit to the tune of about $260 billion worth of damage. And that investing is absolutely crucial at this point to try to protect systems from these type of cyber attacks. And I don't think I can agree anymore, but it's almost one of those things like, which way do you try to protect? Because there's just so many different ways people can get into systems these days. North Korean hackers are carrying out even more cyber attacks than previously thought as well. The Lazarus Group and its subsidiaries are running even more hacking campaigns. Three separate campaigns linked to North Korea's most active state-sponsored threat actor has been reported in recent weeks. Bleaking Computer wrote that the U.S. National Cybersecurity Center and South Korea's National Intelligence Service recently observed Lazarus abusing a zero-day and magic line 4NX for supply chain attacks. By leveraging the flaw, the group was able to drop malicious code onto endpoints of their targets. Microsoft also has warned of Lazarus targeting CyberLink, a known multimedia company from Taiwan. And the company that grabs, by infecting an update, actually, there was an update that got a payload put in it. So again, these folks are just, there must be huge money in doing all this. Sadly, some Google Drive users are also reporting losing 6 months of files. Google's investigating the case of vanishing files. An affected person first brought this to Google's attention on its support forum, saying that the last 6 months of files suddenly vanished in what's obviously a worrying turn of events. He says the drive literally went back to its condition in May 2023, including folder structure reverting to an old state from half a year ago. And it seems fair that a few users affected is evidenced by number of responses. 150 had clicked the button on the post saying that they have the same problem. So apparently Google's working to this, and they do not have an ETA on the fix. We were told, we don't recommend as well to make changes on the root data folder. Okay, so basically they said don't change anything when they're trying to fix this. So probably a good idea to back all your stuff up from time to time. The BBC has a great article about the world's most powerful laser attempting to unlock the secrets of the cosmos. And one of the most powerful ones, believe it or not, right now is at the University of Michigan. And this is a monster laser with lots of power. And they're able to listen to this. Let me find the actual. They have a 24-inch concrete wall around the laser to stop radiation leakage. It's called Zeus, and Zeus is a pulse laser firing a burst a few quintillionths of a second long. Now listen to this. Each beam is capable of reaching a peak power of 3 petawatts, equivalent to 1,000 times electricity consumption of the whole world. But again, it only bursts for a few quintillionths of a second. And they say a laser capable of such extreme compressed energy will help researchers study the quantum law underpinning reality, for example, or create conditions of extreme astrophysics out there in space. And again, I don't understand how having a powerful laser helps you do that, but that's the case. Also, there's in the UK, there's a laser called the Vulcan 2020. Will become the most powerful in the world when it's finished in 2029. It will produce a beam 1 million billion billion times brighter than the most intense sunlight. So will that vaporize the whole world? The single pulse produces more than 6 times as much energy as produced in the entire world, but lasts for less than 1/1,000,000,000th of a second. So yeah, they just go pop, and that's it. So a pretty cool article on these lasers and full details if you're into that thing. Russia has put spokesmen for Facebook owner Meta on a wanted list. Yes, a wanted to arrest list. So Russian state agent Tessa's an independent news outlet MediaZone first reported that Meta Communications Director Andy Stone was included on the wanted list this Sunday, weeks after Russian authorities in October classified Meta as a terrorist and extremist organization. Yes, Meta has been classified as a terrorist and extremist organization. That tells you how far things have fallen from the apple here over in Russia. I wouldn't be traveling to Russia anytime soon. This is not surprising, but video conferencing fatigue is real. It used to be death by PowerPoint. Now it's death by Zoom or Teams or WebExing. Researchers are basically saying people are burned out. Self-reported evidence collected all around the world indicates that video conferencing fatigue is a serious issue. The research has also calculated effects on heart rates for 2 groups of electrocardiographs measuring before and after video conferencing. Subjects were also given cognitive attention tasks and asked for self-report on moods. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Those attending the live lecture reported they felt more lively, happy and active, and less tired, drowsy, and fed up than their online counterparts. So basically, the basic difference between being in person and being in a video conference. So anyway, interesting study for sure. And I think we're all suffering a little bit of video conferencing fatigue. Neuralink has pocketed some extra VC cash in computer brain interface quest. So according to filings with the U.S. financial regulator, the company extended its recent funding round of $332.2 million. In August, a Series D round led by Founders Fund, spearheaded by Palantir and PayPal veteran Peter Thiel, raised $200 million for the fledgling neurotech company. So that's a significant amount of cash. Additional $43 million is what they've gotten to add to their current fund. So just handing out money like nothing at this point. Japanese tech startups are testing cash incentives for office returns. So not only, you know, Japan is like this hardcore in-office team building work. You don't go home before anybody else. I mean, they have a whole work culture there that is most Americans would not, be honest with you, probably put up with. But a pair of Japanese tech startups are basically offering employees 2,000 yen, roughly $13 for every day they show up to the workplace. They've decided to award developers and those who handle other tasks another 1,000 yen, showing up after lunch for a half day in office. And they're giving employees an extra 500 yen, which is $3.30, to go out to lunch with their colleagues. Though both bonuses are reportedly limited to 10 days a month and require 4 hours to be spent in the office. So an extra $168 a month if they come into the office. I'm surprised that this out-of-office, work-from-home thing is actually happening in Japan. I really, really am. If any countries fought it the most, I would think they would be the ones that would have fought it. So if you haven't been playing with ChatGPT lately, you can now chat with it. You can actually physically chat with it in your with your computer. You can just have a conversation. And so how does it work? Its voice-powered feature is powered by a combination of advanced technology, including text-to-speech synthesis and natural language processing. The text-to-speech engine converts ChatGPT's text responses into natural-sounding speech, while the natural language processing system ensures the conversation flows smoothly. What are the benefits of using voice? Well, for one, it can make conversations more natural and engaging. Additionally, the voice feature can make ChatGPT more accessible. So using ChatGPT's voice features easily, simply open ChatGPT app, tap the headphone icon, and you'll be able to select from a variety of different voices, including male, female, and child voices. So have any of you played with the chat feature of ChatGPT? Police are warning parents of a new iPhone feature after the newest iOS update. Now listen to this. It's called Name Drop. The feature is enabled by default with the new update. Anyone with this feature can place their phone next to your iPhone or your child's iPhone and easily exchange contact information. To disable the feature, police said go into the iPhone settings, click General, then AirDrop, and shut off bringing devices together. According to officials with Apple, said the contacts won't be shared unless you choose to share your contact card and receive the other person's. Name Drop will also cancel if the two iOS devices are moved away from each other. So, I don't know if this, I think you have to give authorization. If anyone gets a chance to test this, please do. Medical emergency will happen in deep space, and Canada is getting ready. The Canadian Space Agency Impact Canada Tech Challenge aimed to pivot medical knowledge from working with remote communities like indigenous groups in Canada to help astronauts in deep space. The five finalists for the Canadian government's Deep Space Healthcare Challenge made presentations in Montreal explaining why their tech may one day be worthy of a space mission. At stake for the future winners is a rich $500,000 purse in Canadian dollars, roughly $365,000 US. So Canadians continue to do cool things to help advance, the Canada arm and all that stuff. So they do cool stuff, side projects for space. Australian regulators call for new competition laws for digital platforms. Basically, they're saying that new competition laws are needed in response to the expansion of digital platforms such as Amazon, Apple, Google, Meta, and Microsoft. They said just getting too big for their britches. And their proposal calls for reforms for targeted consumer protections and service-specific codes to prevent anti-competitive conduct by basically those platforms. And they've not made specific findings of anti-competitive conduct, but said digital platforms with significant market power can use practices such as bundling of products, pre-installation, default settings, limit customers' choice, or deter innovation and competitors. That's very, very true. It's been that way for a very, very long time. All right, this is going to bring me to the end of today's show. A little bit back in the saddle here for Geek News Central. Still dealing with the audio. Hope the audio echo hasn't been too bad here from where I'm recording from. But it's been my pleasure to bring you show. geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. And of course, feel free to drop me a line on your comments. And again, get over there and get yourself one of those new modern podcast apps at podcastapps.com. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show. Be back with you on Thursday for another edition of the Geek News Central podcast. Take care. Bye-bye.